Good afternoon. This is Carol Wolfley. We are meeting for the KPFA Programming Committee. I am standing in for Jim Dingman, who is our secretary, and it is July 9th, just after 5:30 California time, and I'm going to call the roll. Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Wesley Bethune here. Shira Dedman.
Here.
Shira Dedman here. Jim Dingman, after an excused absence. Wally James.
Here.
Wally James here. Michelle Manos.
Here.
Michelle Manos here. Five, Malimak. Five, Malimak, not here. Michael Novick.
Present.
Michael Novick, present. Mansoor Sabah. Mansoor Sabah, not here. James Sagerton. James asked for an excused absence. Rob Sims. Hello, Rob, are you still with us? Rob Sims. He was on earlier. I'm going to come back to him. Murray Cliff Smith.
Here.
Murray Cliff Smith here.
Cliff.
Okay. Vanicia Williams. Vanicia not here. And Carol Wolfley is me. I'm here. Now, I'm coming back to Rob. Rob, are you on
Rob
the call?
Yes, Rob is on the phone.
Okay, Rob. All right. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, looks to me like, present. So we have quorum. Thank you. All right. So does anybody have any items for the agenda? Okay, I want to just start out and see we have our usual reporting. So, Shira, did you want to lead this for reporting from each station? Or, I'm not hearing Shira, so does anybody have anything you'd like? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to end up having to take a while because I'm on mute. It ends up having hard for me to find the mute button. You know what? I personally first to ask RP for an update. But does anybody else have any updates? No?
I have an update from, this is Carol. I have an update. Something, it's not exactly an update, but something I would like to share, and that is, I had a conversation with our program director, and he was saying that, it would be helpful for when the programming committee makes recommendations that they not be like, oh, you have to do this, but, you know, to give suggestions because some of the stations may not have the capacity to implement all of the things that we are saying and to figure out how they're going to implement them. And so I just wanted to ask how it is for you all at your stations, like let's say something is passed, like we're going to mobilize for May Day, or we're going to, you know, mobilize around a certain kind of like the Indigenous Peoples event. How is that for you all and the program directors at your stations?
I know at WPFW, sometimes we do get mobilized for remote events around the city, and I believe we just picked up some equipment from the old ABC radio network not even 6, 7, 8 months ago, and we've been using some of that to get our the remote broadcast of the event to the station, and a few times that event went out to affiliates and to Pacifica sister stations.
Can you tell us a little bit about any of the kind of events that you shared?
Let's see. We did International Women's Day downtown. There was the Poor People's Campaign that we did downtown live at a church. Let's see, what else have we done? And I wish I had that list with me, but that's just two. Those are two of the major events that we've done.
Yeah.
And Rob, I know one. This is Cliff. I know one.
Oh, help me out here.
On 19th was the day that the reparations H.R. 40 was introduced in the House of Representatives. On the same day, there was an event at the Metropolitan AME Church run by Ron Daniels, and it had many of the people who were at the hearing in Congress coming to that church later that afternoon to present stuff to us, including Danny Glover, et cetera, and Julian Malvo, and it was an incredible presentation, but we were live there at the church. And, of course, 2 days earlier, as you mentioned, Rob, we were live at the Poor People's thing run by Reverend Barber of North Carolina.
What was the hearing?
Introducing a study of reparations, H.R. 40, House of Representatives. And that was on Juneteenth Day. And I think you're right about the business of suggestions for stations rather than imposing something, because we really run things close to the bone at WPFW, but we do cover a number of important events in the city.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay. I'd like to hear from other stations about that idea, if anybody's willing to say anything about how it is, you know, in terms of suggestions versus, saying that they have to do it.
This is Wally with KPFT, and right now we don't have a program director. Our program director is the acting manager, so we're shorthanded.
So if they get some kind of a mandate, then that would be a challenge?
I think it would be, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Is anybody on from WBAI? Yeah. Michael and Michelle, what about KPFK?
This is Michelle. I'm of the opinion that a coordinated holiday schedule would be an excellent idea for reliability and also awareness. I mean, there are still plenty of people out there who don't know what Juneteenth is or why it's important, but I don't think that we should mandate specific content. I would just like to see all of the member stations have a list of required, like, holidays to cover, because the holidays that we cover are not the holidays that the mainstream media is covering. And if we miss them, then we have entire swaths of the, you know, listenership that misses out on that information. You know, the mainstream media is not going to do any justice to Indigenous Peoples Day the way our stations will. So, you know, I'm in favor of a mandated list, but I'm not in favor of mandating content.
Yeah.
This is Michael. I would say that my concern is that increasing amounts of the KPFK programming grid are devoted to nationally syndicated programs. So we have Stephanie Miller 5 days a week, Sojourner Truth 4 days a week, Democracy Now 5 days, Tom Hartman 5 days, Veterans in Politics 4 days, Rising Up with Sonali 5 days.
Stephanie Miller.
I didn't hear something.
I'm saying that a great bulk of the programming now on KPFK is nationally syndicated programming that, you know, therefore it's outside the capacity of the station to have much influence on what the content is, and I think that's problematic. So my larger concern is that more and more of the grid is being devoted to nationally syndicated shows and less to locally produced programming that can respond to local needs. So I think, you know, a mandate could come and the capacity of the station to do much about it is very limited if most of the shows on the air are nationally syndicated shows that we as a station have very little control over.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that even if they wanted to, they couldn't because it's all nationally syndicated, so it's all set up. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also heard maybe that you are concerned that you have concerns about having so much nationally syndicated programming. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, anybody else
Cliff
have anything else?
Cliff to the
yes.
Stack.
Yes, Cliff.
Yeah. Are we just asking in general?
We're talking. We're talking specific stations, and we're kind of checking it around this idea about should programming be suggestions from the committee be mandated or suggested?
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Cliff.
We're talking about being aware of particular holidays and so on. I think we should also be aware of particular months because there's like a Women's Month, African American Month, Poetry Month, Indigenous Month. I just think that we should be aware of these important months during the year and perhaps having some programming oriented around that those months.
Yeah, Black History Month and
And I'm wondering if any station particularly does any programming on Labor Day.
PFW did on May Day. I don't know about Labor Day yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm hearing about this idea, like we don't want a mandate, but that we do want to have a list. And I'm wondering if anybody on the programming committee would want to work on putting together a list that we could share with the network.
What do you mean by list? A list of suggestions?
No, a list of the holidays for the schedule and months so that we could share that with the network. So following up on your idea, Michelle, kind of an action plan to have a list that we could send to people that they would have.
I'm happy to gather a list. However, I wouldn't want to be solely responsible for it. So if there's someone I can submit a list too, I'm happy to do that, but I think perhaps, you know, anybody can submit a list, which would probably be somewhat incomplete, and then we could put them together and hopefully have a more complete list.
That sounds great. And I think everybody, so if you start it as a draft list, then we could all maybe put that on as an agenda item for a future meeting. How does that sound? Is anybody opposed to that? So, Michelle, that's great. How about you go ahead and start the list and send it to Jim and or me if you don't have – I'm not going to say my email, but you might be able to find it, or Otis could give it to you. And and then we will put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. I'll go ahead and do that.
Thank you. Okay. So is there any other topics about check-ins from any of the stations that anybody else wants to bring up right now? All right. Moving on. Voter education campaign. Does anybody have any updates about that?
This is for November's general election, correct?
2020 elections that we passed a motion. And is anybody on this call on the PNB? So I don't know if that motion has been taken to the PNB or not.
This is Wally. I'm on the PNB, and yes, that motion has been taken to the PNB, and it was approved.
It was approved. And Wally, can you tell us anything about any plans or discussion that took place on the PNB around that?
Well, it was discussion about, how to proceed, whether to work with the program directors. Maxie was saying that he was feeling like it would be easier to do, PSAs or whatever that could be played at the station. He felt like having volunteer programmers, it would be harder to get them to do what he wanted, but being a volunteer programmer, I don't think that is necessarily the case. I think a lot of people might want to get involved. I would certainly want to get involved, and but there was support from the board. Everybody seems to be real enthusiastic about it.
Yeah. Is there any individual or any committee or group that is taking on coordinating it?
Not that I can remember. I could find out more and, have something to say about it at the next meeting.
Oh, that would be great. I think one thing that might be helpful is to have a coordinator for that project who could be a repository for different kinds of resources, like books or PSAs or speakers or, material that's been done. So if you could check and see who, is there a way to have a national coordination of that, that would be great.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. So, any other comments or suggestions or about the voter education project?
I have a question or a statement or suggestion or something like that.
Go ahead, Shira.
This is something that I don't know I would like to bring up in general is reporting. And like if we're rolling out a voter education, what are our standards for impact? How are we measuring whether what we're doing is successful? What are our goals? I think that ironing out, and maybe this is part of the task force or whatever that's being pulled together, but I definitely think that there needs to be some kind of impact assessment as opposed to just doing something and not understanding what's, you know, really working and what's not, especially for future initiatives.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anybody else?
Cliff, for this sec.
Go ahead, Cliff.
I'm not clear what this is about. Are we trying to assess like things like voter suppression and stuff like that, reporting on what's happening with the vote in the United States, which involves each separate state because they control it? I don't understand what this is about.
Okay, so to clarify, what I'm saying is that, okay, so I want to go back, for instance, like every time you roll out, like the station rolls out like an initiative or like some kind of special programming, generally speaking, and this is like what I did in my old job, so that's, I guess, why I have the idea for it in a sense. You measure that by, like, for instance, maybe you look at subscribers or audience week over week or month over month. The month prior, week prior, then the week after, like the special event or the initiative ends, to help sort of measure, was there an uptick, was there a downtick in audience? At what times may there have been even a greater uptick? Or let's say on social, what were people reacting to? Maybe you posted a PSA, maybe you posted a meme, maybe it was an event. And you're really trying to look at what, out of all the data that you have, really comparing it to, like, what you did before you rolled out and what happened after it ended, to try to see that. Or maybe you have an event, and at that event, which is part of the education, you also set up voter registration. Well, how many people registered? Maybe the goal is to get 20 people to register. And you turn around and you say, okay, well, how many people registered? How many people did we get out? And so it's really just like putting real, like measurable goals. It doesn't have to be big goals, but just measurable goals so that you can really assess the impact of rolling out these like initiatives, whatever they be. So not just with voter education, but, you know, any initiative that KPFA or PNB as a whole rolls out.
Okay. Thank you.
So this is Michelle, KPFK.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Thanks. I know that it was Grace Aaron who originally had the idea of the voter education program. I think that it was more around dates and deadlines and logistics of like voting, and I don't want to speak for her, but part of why I think that was a good idea, at least for our station, is because Los Angeles is rolling out like a brand new voting system. It's, I don't know if anybody else has heard about this, but they're closing polling places in favor of community voting centers. They're going to have an 11-day window that people can vote in. They're changing, like, everything about the way the ballot looks. We're pretty much doing away with provisional ballots and vote by mail. So there's a lot of major, major changes coming to the Los Angeles voting system. As an activist and organizer, you know, I see a way that we could move into the future with some of these changes, but I also see a lot of people being disenfranchised just by being confused. And they are rolling these changes out for the 2020 election. So, you know, it's something that I would like to see the station, you know, take some responsibility for regarding just letting people know. You know, a lot of people don't know simple things like, you know, when you have a right to a regular ballot versus when you have to accept a provisional ballot. I think that it's really important. We don't have to go down the road of, you know, banging the drum about voter suppression. While I do believe that happens, people tune out when they hear that. But if what we're doing is giving positive information on how to exercise your rights, then I think that would be really valuable. And I would like for Grace to come back at some point and give her opinion on what her vision was when she first made the suggestion.
Thanks, Michelle. Anybody else? This is Carol. I'm remembering. Oh, go ahead.
That's okay. Go ahead. I'll wait.
I'm just remembering that Grace had said that this would be an opportunity for to bring in funding to Pacifica around programming. So that might be a doable goal, Shira, is to see how much funding, you know, what kind of grants we can apply for and what that would look like, and to see who has the capacity to work on a grant and to include that. And also hearing what Michelle was saying, I just wanted to also say that it sounds like these are going to be local and state issues that are going to, like, what's happening in Alabama is different than what's happening in Oregon. So this may have to be taken up by each individual station or even some of the affiliates on their own, because it can't, the issues are different. So,
I don't think, this is Michelle again, I don't think anyone was talking about mandating specific type of programming. I was just expressing why here in LA it would be helpful, you know, to address, but I think that, having a plan to talk about voting and about how you vote in your community is a good idea.
Yeah.
One quick thing. Just back to the measurable goals for impact. Most grants these days also require that you have. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. There was somebody who wanted to speak earlier who let me go first. Who was that?
Yeah, that was Michael Milvick, also from L.A. I was on the PMB Programming Committee back in 2016, and we had a proposal to try to look at the issues that were not being discussed in the national campaigns. And I'd like to try to revive that if possible. I think that because so much of the normal media coverage is just kind of the horse race stuff and discounts issues in general, that Pacifica could fill a real role by covering, putting some attention on topics that are being dealt with in the either in the campaigns or in the coverage of the campaigns by corporate media. So I don't have a fleshed out proposal, but I'll see if I can find some of the things we talked about 4 years ago, and I'll stick it out of my own emails. But I think it would be a service that Pacifica could provide that probably nobody else will, is looking at what some of the actual issues are that are not being addressed by the candidates or the corporate coverage.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different from the idea of just, you know, voter rights and like that.
Yes.
It wouldn't be taking positions on the issues, but it would be, you know, fleshing out what are some things that are not being addressed.
Yeah.
Cliff to the stack.
Yes, Cliff.
I'd like to second what was just said, because I feel that, for instance, the matter of war is hardly talked about at all, and yet 3 or 4 weeks ago we came within half an hour of war with Iran, and to me it is a vital thing, and we, I think, on the Pacifica Network, it'd be great if we could have some serious programs about it.
Wally, go ahead.
I just wanted to agree. It's something that I see, too, that it's really lacking, and that would be something that Pacifica could do that, you know, we're not getting elsewhere.
Wally, are you talking about the issues that are not being addressed in general,
yes,
or are you talking about war? What Cliff was bringing up?
Well, the issues in general, but certainly war too.
Yeah. Yeah, and Cliff, are you talking about war in general or war as part of the election?
In general, because we're, of course, there's also rumblings about Venezuela, and of course we have continuing war, which has been going on since, you know, for 16 years now, without stop in four or five countries. And so I just think it is an important issue to deal with overall.
Yeah, I would like us, if you're all comfortable doing this, to finish up on the topic of voter education and then to move on and really focus on the topic of war. Coverage of that is a separate issue. So does anybody else have anything else about voter education that you'd like to bring up right now? So what I'm understanding is that we have some proposals for measuring, having goals around that, looking into funding, and inviting Grace to come back, and having coverage about, you know, how things are changing. And so I'll write up a few notes about some of the issues that were brought up that may help us come back to this with more clarity at our next meeting. Anything else about that? Voter education? Okay, so can somebody mute? I think we're getting some background conversation. Okay, so anything else about war that we want to talk about and how we would like to see that be covered? Could anybody tell me how it's being covered at your stations right now? Are your stations talking about Venezuela? Are they talking about Iran? And were you comfortable with the way those issues were being brought up?
When Rob sends to the stack, please.
I didn't hear your name.
Yeah, Rob sends to the stack.
Okay, Rob, go ahead.
Okay. When the Venezuela issue came forward, I know that, and I know this because on Tuesdays I usually do newscast duty, and although we haven't done a half-hour news show in years, I know that there was always a piece on Venezuela when I was doing the five-minute newscast in the afternoon. Something, anything, whether it be, I think the fellow's name is Bolsonaro or something like that. So we always had a piece on Venezuela. Now, I wish I could have talked to someone there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else?
Cliff could add to what Rob said.
Yeah.
We have an hourly program on the Middle East, so I know that Iran's being covered on that. We have an hourly program each week on Latin America, so I know Venezuela's being covered on that, but I just think the issue of war in general should be more broadly covered by all our stations.
On public affairs shows, Cliff, or on news? News?
Well, I know Democracy Now! Covers these issues to a fair degree, to the extent that they come up in terms of, you know, topical news things and so on. But it'd be nice to have some broader discussions, like an hour on each of these issues, or on war in general, perhaps, and how the U.S. government and corporations see war and how they use it for their advantage and so on.
Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Bethune, KPFT. I find really distressing the immigrant refugee conditions. I know we we do bring it up. PBS has been covering it pretty well, NPR. We're all in areas where this is going on. So, you know, that issue needs to be out in the front too. This is disgusting. It's some really fascist stuff. Okay, I'm finished.
Thank you. So I'm wondering at each station, you know, is there a coordination around when there is a big issue, how it's going to be covered and by whom? And sometimes, you know, shows can, like, just repeat what was on Democracy Now! With a different voice. And I wonder if the program plans around a given topic is coordinated in any way.
This is Wally at KPFT, and there's no coordination like that at our station.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Anything else? Oh, go ahead. Did someone want to speak? Okay. All right. So next topic that I have is looking at drive time programming, and I want to open that up for discussion. Did anybody have anything they wanted to talk about in relation to that?
Well, I just wanted to note that we do play shows that have call-in during drive time, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, it's they're rebroadcasts. So, so no one from actually, you know, present time can call in to those shows and be on the air.
Who's speaking?
I think this is Bethune, KPFT.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, that's a good draw. That keeps people interested, especially when they can put in their 2 cents, because you know how we all love to put in our 2 cents. Okay, I'm finished.
Well, what I'm hearing is that there are call-ins, but you would prefer for them to be live. Is that right?
Yeah. We do rebroadcast.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Hartman, Brad Blog. So,
okay.
This is Wally for the stack.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Wally.
We do have call-in shows. They're just not in drive time. And
right.
That's what you're focusing on. And I agree, that would be something. KPFT is not in the position to have a paid host to do a daily show.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Cliff to the staff.
Go ahead, Cliff.
At PFW, of course, we have Democracy Now! From 8 till 9 in the morning, which is a great time for drive time, but a few years ago, we used to have an immediate call-in show immediately after Democracy Now! Monday through Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And given the number of issues that Democracy Now! Brings up, it was really a successful show, and it was a wonderful show for the next hour because people, you know, are very interested in talking about what they just heard on Democracy Now! We don't have that anymore, but I wish we did.
Mm.
Yes, we do. We need that.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I wanted to say about the drive time, I put together a chart which I sent to Jim, and I think he sent out an agenda to everybody. It was in the form of a chart that is for each station, and then it had a list of criteria for those of us that are going to be listening into the drive time programming at different stations. And my idea is it doesn't just have to be one of us. We could even share it with other people and get some more input with people in our station community. But I hope to send that out to everybody for your consideration at the next meeting. And it just had things like, you know, sound quality, voice, pace, engagement, quality of the, you know, content. So it was a list of things to be considering, so we would have something a little more objective for our collection of data. And does anybody have any comment about that? Do you think that would be helpful?
This is Wally. Yeah, I think that would be helpful.
Okay, well, I will send that out. Okay.
This is Michael. This speaks to my earlier concern about the amount of nationally syndicated programming.
Yes.
My understanding was that the management national programming commitment is to have basically what they consider as a professional and ipso facto nationally produced programming during drive time, morning and evening, and just squeeze the what they call
Michael, I can't hear you.
My understanding was that the national commitment from management has been to basically use drive time for nationally syndicated programming and to squeeze locally produced public affairs into other hours on the grid. So my concern speaks to that if drive time is going to be increasingly filled up with shows that are not very susceptible to local input. It's a larger question than just obviously you can evaluate it locally, but if you're not producing it and you're not responsible for it, it's harder to have an impact on it.
Yeah, it's still good to know and look at the quality of what is on. I noticed like WBAI had one locally produced show and then one, you know, then Democracy Now. We have up front from 7 to 9, 4.5 days, and that's locally produced, but it has a lot of staff. So, anything else on drive time programming? Okay. I also saw there was Indigenous Peoples Day. Did anybody have anything else you wanted to say about that?
The day in August?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that can go on Michelle's list. All right. Anything else for this call?
Cliff has a suggestion.
Yes, Cliff.
I call it sort of happy hour. We used to have an hour on PFW every Friday in which the host asked for positive stories. Now, it ended up being stories of people like graduating from school or having a birth or having a marriage, very local stuff, very family-oriented stuff. But to me, a problem we have in the activist community is I realize there are the great horrors and wrongs that go on worldwide and in our nation. And we talk about this and we agitate against this all the time. But I think it'd be good if sometime in the week we would have a break in which we would have a time of telling of positive things nationally and internationally, like the huge thing in honoring 50 years of Stone of LGBT in New York City with the millions, or the women's marches, or victories in courts, or victories in legislation, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it'd be good for our morale to have an idea that we do win things at times, and that we do have positive things that occur, and just not all of it being the negative side of America and the world. That, anyway, it's just a suggestion.
So how would you see that being produced? By, I mean, do you know, do you have a way to bring that to reality? Or because part of the problem we always have is who's going to do the work and how's it going to get done?
Well, it'd just be an hour a week, just like we had with the previous time in which we had this sort of feel-good show every Friday. Just, you know, have an hour in the week, maybe at the end of the week, and telling what's happened that week in terms of positive things. That's all. It's not very complicated.
Yeah. Do you know of any producers who would be interested in working on that?
I could talk with some people in my station, but I think it could go across. But I'd have to see. We'll have an LSB meeting on Wednesday tomorrow,
yeah.
So maybe I can bring it up.
Yeah, let us
anyway,
know.
It's just an idea. I'm just throwing the idea out in the mix to make people think, and maybe, you know, it's just an idea.
Yeah. Well, I loved what happened with the women's soccer team.
Oh, yeah. And the politics of the main goal person, you know, who's fighting for LGBT rights and for women's rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, she's amazing. So, I mean, that kind of thing, yeah, is great.
Yeah.
Kind of thing I include in that.
Good. Well, anything else anybody else wants to bring up tonight before we get off? All right. So... Does
this is Michelle.
Anybody?
I'd just like to say I really appreciate the call being succinct and getting to the point right away and keeping their thoughts really, like, focused and succinct. This is really great.
Mrs. Michael, I will dig out the earlier version that I mentioned of the National Programming Committee proposals for election coverage that focused on, you know, issues that needed to be paid attention to that weren't being, I'll circulate that to the email list. Maybe we can talk about it more next time.
Great. Thank you, everybody. This was the first call I've ever chaired. Thank you for your
patience.
You did
fine.
Thank
you. Yes, yeah, you did. Very good.
Good. All right. We'll talk to you at our next meeting.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye. Anybody else on? Okay.